Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of the Bird Gang. It is Thursday, January 15th at 11 p.m. I'm your host, Kyle Lutz. Joining me soon will be my co-host, Mark Milano. And on the show again, I gladly will have Mark McLean. Mark, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, more than honored to be on with you guys. Glad to talk birds all the time.
We could do it all day. And speaking of that, me and Mark were just talking about that. We were just getting into how vital this offseason is for the Eagles from several standpoints, from free agents, filling needs and weak spots, including cornerback, which we also mentioned. And Mark, my co-host Mark, will be joining us in a second. And also, that's all right. We're just talking about how the offseason for the Eagles. So what I was saying was not only picking up key guys to fill spots and needs, but re-signing guys, and also the division between Howie Roseman and Chip Kelly. Mark McLean, I'll throw this to you first, unless you have any other comments. I wanted to get your opinion on the Roseman-Chip Kelly incident. Apparently they don't get along, and I guess Lori wanted to kind of play the playground where he puts two guys at opposite ends if they're not in agreement. Although I do like that Chip Kelly is getting more player personnel calls, just because it makes more sense for an X's and O's guy, a coach, to be in control of player personnel than a guy that doesn't really know football. So Mark McLean, what did you think of that incident between Kelly and Roseman, and what do you think of Kelly as a player personnel guy?
Well, I love how, Chip as a coach. I think he's innovative. He reminds me of Dick Vermeil an awful lot. I think he has the ability to really go far in the NFL. Remember, he's only his second year, and he's accomplished 210 wins. A lot of people will snigger that we went backward. I'm not saying going backward this year was not a good thing. I really, at the beginning of the year, thought that they may be 9-7 with their tougher schedule. And when this St. Louis came about and lost Bradford, I looked at that. I said, well, they may win that St. Louis game. So I gave them a 10-6. I wasn't really predicting that as a real great thing to predict. I just said that going from 10-6 to 9-7 at the beginning of the year wasn't the end of all, because the schedule to me this year was to be tougher. Now, Chip has been put into a management scenario with Howie, and the two egos have gotten together. And this stuff has happened in the past. It seems like the Eagles management always gets to a level where they can't run smoothly. And we put teams together and something pops up. We either run into a Buddy Ryan error, we run into a Norman Brayman error with Leonard Toth, and then we lose Reggie White, and then we have situations where a fog ball comes along and we go a playoff game that should have never been played, regardless of both teams played in it. It seems Philadelphia luck with the Eagles is not always good. Then we run into the current scenario, Andy Reid's era, where we finally get a wide receiver and we get to the Super Bowl, and he almost wins the Super Bowl game. And a week later, we see him doing push-ups in his driveway. A fiasco. So it gets to a fan that I've been watching for 57 years, very frustrating, that we have the player personnel. Chip should be involved with it. I hope it doesn't burn him out. I think Gamble's firing was a very bad move. But I don't want to throw Jeff Lurie as a peacemaker here or giving him roses. He gives Howie Roseman a contract extension and a raise. I have a little issue with that. If Howie's still going to handle the contracts, he can be a thorn in Chip's side regardless, all right? So we have to consider this, that Chip may be making some moves. And we were talking about these moves I kind of like to see us go after Randall Cobb as a wide receiver. That would be our Darryl Sproles move on the offense. And then go after Maxwell and either Raheem Moore from or McCourty, like the rest of the people. We have to make some strong free agent moves in our secondary. You want an elite defense, and that's how you're going to win a Super Bowl. Okay, you can concentrate on your draft, all right, for another cornerback, but you're really going to have to spend money. I know you got Macklin's and a few other contracts to deal with, but I'm the guy that says keep Nick Foles. I agree
wholeheartedly.
We too many people landed on that 27-2 and made it the standard for him, and God, that would have been a great standard for Manning or Brady, you know?
I know.
I just think, you know, you have – he's not a great cap hit, all right? So you're not spending tons of money on the guy. That offensive line, we mentioned before the show, LeSean McCoy's numbers went up after that line came back, all right? That was the latter half of the season, all right? Yes, injuries occur to everybody. Yes, we contend. I have good friends that remind me of that all the time. But that does affect – the psyche of a running back and Foles, who, remember, he's only on his second year of participation, so he's been in a maturing process also. But, again, would you rather have Mark Sanchez starting all 16? Here's your question, you know?
Not at all. And
I think if you add these four or five right personnel moves and you make a Seattle or an old gangrene defense that we had with Reggie White, Jerome Brown, okay, you make it, you score 13, 14, 15, 16 points in that range, giving up the game. Nick Foles is going to get you over 20 a game on that offense, even the way he is right now. So you're back in the game completely. And with the rest of our Philadelphia sports teams, you've got the black hole apocalypse right now of anything you could say positive to any one of those 300 organizations. How would you like to be – have a job right now of Jim Lyman being the host of the post-game 76ers show. 7-31 team that has to come up with all the positives how the team lost tonight. You know?
Oh, God, I couldn't imagine that at all. Announcer, Mark Zumoff, having to dissect these players and the plays and saying, well, this guy made a good play and, you know, they have some good players, the Sixers do on their team. They have some young talent and some good prospects. But like you said, a team that might win 10, 15 games all year, and they were expected to fare even worse. They're actually playing pretty well than their standards recently, and surprisingly, the Knicks are even worse due to kind of the same issue. But I want to bring up a couple great points you made there, and I'll get your response on this. First off, I agree with Foles. I think he should be the starter next year. I think he will be, unless somehow Chip wants to move up and get Mariota, though. Mel Kiper, me and you were talking about this prior to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Kiper released his 2015 NFL mock draft today, and he had Mariota going second behind the Florida State quarterback. I forget his name. And with the Eagles at the number 20 pick, he had us selecting a cornerback from Washington, Marcus Peters, who's actually a junior, 5'11", 193 pounds. Hopefully he could be good and also an asset and somebody that could potentially be 100 times better than the crop of players that we have now, which are basically next to nothing in terms of talent. That's for one thing. Two, I'm hoping that we can not only pick up a guy like Cobb, like you mentioned, but re-sign Jeremy Maclin, who, like you said, also is a free agent, specifically an unrestricted free agent. His cap hit this year for Maclin was $5.4 million. I would guess he'd probably be in the $6, maybe $7 or $8 million range. I'll get your opinion on that in a second. Maclin's worth. Also, it'd be interesting because Chip was actually close with Gamble, and that firing, I know, you know, really put a fire in his belly, and I don't think he got along particularly well with Roseman to begin with, and that kind of added to it. And it was a detriment. So, and also, we'll kind of be interesting to see what we'll do in terms of our GM search. I'd like them to see, you know, if they could pick up a guy that has some experience and not just a, a guy that, you know, like Roseman, who's intelligent but doesn't really know football from a X's and O's standpoint, like I mentioned earlier. So it'll be pretty interesting to see what happens. I'm assuming you have Macklin coming back and re-signing this upcoming offseason with the Eagles, and if so, what do you think his contract value would be worth?
You're talking to me or Mark Milano?
I'm talking to you. Mark's actually having some technical difficulties.
Okay,
I should have noted that, so I'll throw that to you.
He's going to be – look, if you slap a franchise tag on him, you're paying the top five, and they're double digits to start with, so $10 million. If you get him under that, you're probably getting a bargain. He easily could be an All-Pro this year, and there's no going to the Pro Bowl game. There's just a lot of buckle wide receivers we got right now. If we talk about progress there with Macklin, you have a couple more. You got McCoy to talk about, too. You'd have to restructure some of McCoy's guaranteed money. I think that can happen, though. I really do. I think there's a genuine group of players that, despite the professional market and money scenarios of free agency, that like the system that they're in. They think the talent's there. They think they have this mission to accomplish and finish it. And Kelly, look, the name Dick LeBeau came up this week, and I know
I saw that.
Now. Yeah, I know there's talk now that Tennessee and Arizona are probably ahead of us, and it's a shame. Kyle, I had season tickets from 76 to 83 in the 7-10 hard core section of the bet. And third year Sid Gilman comes along and from that San Diego offense. And that changed Vermeil completely and his team. The first 2 years Vermeil came in, he had losing teams. Tampa Sid Gilman came along, it was just like Jim Johnson did with Andy Reid. You had that older guy with knowledge and experience and know-how and proven experience, and he brought that expertise into the coaching, and that changed. Dick LeBeau's just a proven winner. And I think Billy Davis had something to do with him as a mentor years ago. I think he would be a nice addition as a consultant. I don't know if it'll come through, but I'd be one to be pro for that because the more coaching minds it helps in, and even with Chip, okay, can't hurt him, okay. So these are things, thoughts that hope that we don't have to watch. We haven't seen any coaching changes yet on the defense, and that makes you talk a little bit. Again, I'm sticking to my guns on this. We're really about five players away, and you want to talk about every team being five players away. No, that's not true. There's teams up there that need way more than that. So, legitimately, you had a good secondary to that front seven you got there right now, and you can't tell me we don't have a good defense or a great defense for that matter. You know, again, health, you know, that's a factor every year. And it was a difference this year compared to the year before. And it'll be different again this year. But you're this close to knocking on the door. That's me. I don't know if I'd sell my soul for Mariota, you know. And here's the scenario, the last one I throw at you, Kyle. The chip with all the power, it just bothers me that if he doesn't get the final pieces, what are the fans expecting this year? We talked about that. And we both agreed it has to be a deep run or getting to the Super Bowl. I don't think we can accept anything less. You know, unless you're going to take that gamble on Mariota and not use Foles, and then guess what? That's a gamble right now. For the future, I don't know if you could actually see Super Bowl coming next year, you know, or be in the hunt for it. So, give me your thoughts,
Yeah, I agree with a few of your points there. First, I'll get to the Jeremy Maclin deal. I think he will be re-signed. Like you mentioned, he had a really good year last year, sort of a breakout year, and obviously in Deshaun's absence, he became, you know, the number one guy on offense and had a set a career high in receptions and targets and also yards, his first 1,000-yard season, and also had tied his career high for touchdowns, receptions with 10, and only didn't have a fumble, which is pretty impressive. And obviously, you know, he returned some punts here and there too, but he was solid. You know, he provided some speed. His hands are really good. He's a smart player. He knows where to be. He runs his routes well. And also, maybe just as important as some of those was the fact that he doesn't make excuses. He's a good kid, and he doesn't, you know, he's not, you know, flashing and pretending to be, you know, he doesn't put it all out there, you know, his personal life, and it's not flashy like Deshaun was. Deshaun was a great player, and I think we miss his speed a lot, but at times he was very frustrating and was very immature, and Macklin's the total opposite of that, and that really, you know, sells to the organization that, you know, you're committed to being here, you're respectful, not to mention you're a good player, so we'll keep you. And I don't think he's going to command a whole lot. He seems like a guy that would be, you know, wouldn't be unfair in terms of negotiating a deal with the Eagles and his agent. But I expect drastic changes in the off season, but I agree. I'll get to the next point you made, and I agree that we're only, you know, maybe four or five pieces away from, you know, seriously contending in the NFC and maybe onward with the likes of Green Bay, Seattle, and et cetera, maybe Arizona. So, you know, I think the most important thing would be to get Foles healthy. I think he's the quarterback next year. Maybe Sanchez is a two, although new Bills head coach and former Jets head coach Rex Ryan had some interest, obviously, him being the former head coach of Sanchez with the Jets a few years back, had some interest this offseason a couple of days ago in acquiring Sanchez if he were to be available for the Jets, or excuse me, for the Bills job next year. I don't know if that's as a starter or a backup, but, you know, he's definitely a depth guy, Sanchez. He's a good backup. I think he's an okay starter. I think he's meant to be a number two in this league, and I think if it starts next year where the same three guys, Foles, Sanchez, and Barkley are here, I think it'll be the same depth chart, assuming Foles stays healthy with him being the starter and Sanchez backing him up. And he played well, although towards the end there we kind of folded like a card table after that big win on Thursday night on Thanksgiving versus Dallas. And Foles, like you mentioned, you know, he still won games, and although his TD-INT ratio was only 13-10, and although I think he should have had a better year, he didn't have a horrendous year. And also, for one thing, people's standards are way too high after that miraculous, amazing, fantastic year he had 2 years ago, for one thing. And two, I think he also had a sophomore slump, which happens a lot. And with all being said, Foles was still 6-2 as starter, so you figure if he stays in for the last eight games and he wins one or two more games, not only are we looking at probably a playoff spot, maybe a division, maybe a first-round bye, just, you know, one or two wins can drastically change things, not to mention, you know, he missed some of the games that we played some of the playoff teams, like, I believe, I think he was out versus the Green Bay game and a couple other teams as well, so, and obviously, it all comes down to those first games earlier on in the year where we blew big leads or had a chance to win at the end versus San Francisco and Arizona. Arizona, we had right around 500 yards of offense and lost. In San Francisco, we were on the two-yard line and didn't run a rushing play, and yet we couldn't score and win the game. So those two losses were key. So I think Chip, if he can get some big pieces, we're not that far off this offseason. As for LeBeau, I agree he would be a great addition, although I don't know if he has enough in the tank to be a defensive coordinator again. I could see him being a consultant to Billy Davis, although I think he's obviously better than Billy and was a mentor. But at Dick's age, he just turned 77 a few months ago. I don't know if he has enough in the tank to really, you know, because it takes a lot out of you, not only as a coordinator, but, you know, look what it did as a head coach, let alone a coordinator for Dick Vermeil in Philadelphia, like you mentioned. Just wears you out. And there was a report about a day ago that the Cardinals want LeBeau for senior position, and they will promote their current assistant to defensive coordinator. And Arians, the head coach at Arizona, was really talking about that. So what do you think of Dick LeBeau? Where do you see him going next year? And what do you see Foles doing next year?
I think on LeBeau, as much as I would like to have him, and again, I like him in the consultant area too. I don't think he's going to be defensive coordinator. I think LeBeau will probably go with Bruce Arians. There's a good connection there. If he doesn't go there, then I think we have a shot. You know, I mean, that's what I could. I don't. Somebody mentioned Tennessee, and I said I would say Arizona would probably have first choice. He would probably consider going there. Remember, a guy at 77 wants to stay with a winner, and Arizona's got a pretty good scenario out there with their team right now. I could see that happening. He has a good relationship with Arians to that point.
Yeah. And
what was your other question, Kyle? The second part.
About Foles next year.
Do you think
him being a starter, and what do you think he's going to accomplish?
Yeah, I think Foles will start. I do. I really. It's a talk show thing right now. This kid, but I think the kid will have a future. I don't question that. He's a good kid. He fits the mold of quality. But a lot of Heisman Trophy winners don't amount to anything in the NFL too. So you have to look at that scenario. But I think the kid has a potential of being a future. I don't know if it'd be a Philly. And I'm not one of these ones that I don't see any way of getting close to. Although if Chip really wants him bad enough, I can't say Chip can't be creative enough to do something that I, you know. This is a dog and pony show, the draft. Everybody talks things up and they play a chess match psychologically to figure out who's going to make the move, where they're going to make a move, and you know it's that type of thing that goes on every year in a draft. I think you can't really discern yourself too much with a draft again until you get through this March free agency period and see who we can address through the free agency. We've got money under that cap, but we haven't used. Okay, yes, we have to renegotiate, and yes, I agree, Macklin is a priority. What do you say if McCoy decides that's going to be a $10 million hit there, easy, and guaranteed money? If he doesn't want to restructure, do you keep McCoy or not? You know, there's a lot of people question that one too, and that's kind of controversial. To me, you got to have a running game. You didn't use Chris Polk enough last year, and that's been a magic question on every talk show I listen to. Chris Polk, if he was healthy, would he be able to do anything in Arizona and San Francisco, those two games? Okay. Could have, that offensive line was broken down in those two games. Can you get in from the one? If you want to be a championship team, you have to. That's my philosophy. So, you know, they didn't use him then. So I don't know what Chris Polk's health was at that particular time. But he proved at the end of the year that he could do. He was a nice asset to Sproles and McCoy. So you got your running game. You got your running game intact, Kyle. If you had a Cobb to like you did for Sproles last year, to that offense, and move either remove Cooper and keep Smith and Huff as your fourth and fifth wide receivers, man, you've stepped up your offense again, and then do what you improve that secondary. You can use your draft picks wisely for depth. Get another cornerback out there on the field to learn with the three veterans. Get an offensive lineman, out there, or one or two of them, start grooming them to replace Peters and the rest of them. You know, at that point, the linebacker, you don't know if DeMarco Ryans is going to be able to come back healthy, although I do think he's the type of professional that will fight hard, just like Macklin and want to be back on the field. You got the caliber, the chemistry, and the charisma, the three C's, okay, that are there for this to be our Super Bowl winning season. And it's easy. It's Super Bowl 50. What a great one to win, you know, at that point. It's easy to remember.
And actually, that's a really good point. And actually, before I continue, Mark is actually back with us. He was having some technical difficulties on the other line. So before I throw this to you, Mark, me and Mark McClain were talking about the Eagles offseason, specifically the free agents to be, Chip Kelly's new role as player personnel, and also the draft. Mel Kiper released his mock draft, and the Eagles, according to Mel, are projected to pick cornerback Marcus Peters out of Washington at the number 20 pick. We also talked about the prospects of former Steelers championship-winning defensive coordinator Dick LeBeau, who's 77 now, being a guy that the Eagles could bring in, and also some other things. Mark Milano, so what do you think of Jeremy Maclin? Do you think he'll be back next year? And what do you see Chip Kelly doing this offseason?
All right. First of all, hello, Mark McClain. Nice to talk to you again.
Okay, Mark.
I think that Maclin is your number one priority. Without him on the team, you don't really have much firepower to throw to. I think he needs to get at least a $10 million contract. Taking care of your guys, I think, is the first priority. Now, with the offseason, with free agency, because free agency is going to be coming before the draft, you want to make sure you get your guys in the free agency, and then we'll reflect who you get in the draft. I think the Eagles actually target Rambo Cobb. He's an explosive playmaker that the Eagles kind of missed this past year, being DeSean Jackson got released and signed with the Redskins. And he's a top-tier wide receiver in the league. He's fast, and he can also return punts and kicks, so he'd be a good special team player. After that, I think you need to restructure McCoy's contract and go after Byron Maxwell in the free agency. Sign him to a good deal. Now, once you do that, you can look forward to either getting a safety or a corner in the draft. Now, there's a couple mock drafts where I saw where the Eagles are projected to pick Trey Waynes out of Michigan State or Landy Collins out of Alabama. So if you go and get a cornerback in the draft, I think you would have to assume – I mean, cornerback in free agency, I think you have to assume that they would get a safety, Landy Collins, in the draft. Or vice versa, if they go for safety in the free agency, I would expect them to get Trey Waynes in the draft. So that's my take on that.
What do you – Mark, I'll ask you another question. Me and Mark McClain talked about this. What do you see Dick LeBeau doing? We and Mark both agreed that probably wasn't going to be with the Eagles, probably with Arizona, with Bruce Arians. Do you see him retiring or staying in football?
I see him actually retiring. He's getting up there in age. I think he just needs to hang the cleats and end his career on a good note with the divisional crown for the Steelers.
That'd be interesting to see. A couple things I want to get into before I throw this next question to you guys. Me and Mark McClain, me and you both talked about Chris Polk, and I agree, and I think Mark Milano will agree that Chris Polk, I think he's a good third-string running back, and obviously with some injuries and with less carries, with obviously two of the best running backs in the league in McCoy and Sproles, Polk is going to get, you know, a lot less carries. But Polk being a restricted free agent, I think I was going to mention that. I'm not sure if you knew that, either of you guys did. But Polk only had a cap hit last year of over $500,000. So he's not going to make much, but yet he does a lot. He's productive. So, and me and Mark McClain, Mark, we're also talking about the Eagles this offseason. If we do the right moves, we really only need four or five good pieces to become a serious contender. Do you see us being far away, Mark Milano, from being a contender in the NFC, or do you see us needing a few more years?
We're not far away. As long as we get our pieces to the puzzle, And I don't care what team you are. You can be the Patriots of 07, 08. If you turn the ball over more than 34 times in the season, you're not going to win games. That's the bottom line. So once they clean up that turnovers and they get some pieces in the offseason, I think they'll be there in about a year or two.
Yeah. One quick thing. This March, the 7th through the 10th, I'm reading this from SB Nation online just to get the dates right for when teams can speak to free agents to be. Clubs are permitted from those Thursdays, 7th through the 10th, to contact and enter into contract negotiations with certified agents of players who will become unrestricted free agents. And, you know, obviously we'll go from there to decide who you try to retain and who you try to pick up. And obviously it'd be pretty interesting to see. Couple more things as well. Former NFL agent Joel Corey 2 days ago said that he believes that Macklin, who obviously is going to be a free agent to be, he said that he believes that he's a $10 million per year receiver. Corey notes that Greg Jennings got a 5-year, $45 million deal from the Vikings a year and a half ago, and Dwayne Bowe landed 5 years and $56 mil from the Chiefs. Macklin figures to be in that range, and it's a number in the cap-rich Eagles can swallow. I'll start with you, Mark Milano. What do you see Macklin getting as far as the contract per year?
I see him getting a $10 million contract per year, 5-year deal. So it'd be probably about a $50 million contract. I don't know what a signing bonus would be, but probably $50 million.
Yeah, and I think it would be smart to cut ties with Roddy Cooper, like Mark McClain said earlier. Mark McClain, I'll throw that to you. What do you think of Macklin's worth or his value this offseason? Do you see him being right around $10 million, like me and Mark said?
Yeah. I think he's double-digit. Like I think I mentioned earlier, that if you slap the franchise tag on him, you're going to pay double-digit salary. That's a top-five receiver. And he's your number one guy, all right? And Mark Milano and I both agreed about Cobb. So, I mean, the money's there. I'm not worried about the money. I worry about the ego scenarios of whether Swift wants to go that route or not, you know. I would think he would, but, again, we're talking now of guys going into his third year. He's got to get the pieces on defense to complement his offense for that type of system to work. I think he's learned that now in the NFL. Comparatively different than college level. To throw real quick out today, everybody wanted that Ohio State quarterback who played three games, all three good games, no question about it, but he wanted him to go to college, to go to the pros, and he chose to go back.
And Mariota declared.
But this Cardell Jones stated Ohio State. I've gotten information that Braxton Miller may be transferring, so that may open some more time for him in Ohio State. I don't see how anybody, in all my years, you can judge a guy on three games, college games, especially the last game against an Oregon defense that's not an NFL defense, all right? Or the running back got nearly 250 yards and 4 touchdowns for him, all right? The team was good, was physical, but you're judging a guy. Here we're judging Nick Foles, okay, on a mediocre season, his second season, compared to a 27-2. Well, you may be judging this Cardell the same way. The guy has three games, college games, and you think, okay, he's going to go right into the NFL and be that guy. It could be the answer for you. I think he needs more seasoning at a collegiate level, get some more education. I know he's got a kid, and easily you can talk about $1 million and $2 million, $3 million contract. That's a lot of money for a young guy. I think if he gets more time, he shows more stuff next year, he could get a lot more than that if he gets drafted next year, you know. And you'll see it. That's the key. You want to see a little bit more what he can do, what he can't do. I think the kid made the right move by staying in college this year. He did. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that, but you got to remember something. Football is good for a certain amount of time. You get that education too. You know, it's a compliment. You know, so you have a life after football. So, you know, too many times these kids rush out and they become a little analyst for a little radio talk show and bingo. You know, if you're not a star in NFL, okay, that money's got to go your lifetime. So we keep looking at the entertainment factor, Kyle and Mark, and we have to look at the other end of the fence too. You know, a lot of these guys, seniors, come out with their degrees, so they're set. So, but a lot of jump the ship, and if they're not successful, then we got some problems.
Speaking of that, Randall Cobb this year, you had mentioned that, both of you had mentioned that we should get him, and I agree. This year with Green Bay, 91 catches, over 1,200 yards, and 12 touchdowns, and he's only 24. It was a second-round pick 3 years ago.
I'll spend the moon for him. I really will.
Yeah.
I'll spend the moon for him. He would be the Darryl Sproles move from last year. Okay?
Yeah, I agree. I really think he's a fast, hands guy that really can get open fast and makes smart moves. Mark Milano, I want to get your take on a couple things. Me and Mark McClain talked about this earlier. Nick Foles, we both expect him to be back next year and to be the starter. So one thing, Mark, what do you think the future is for Foles? And also, what do you think of the Jack Del Rio hire in Oakland as the head coach this week?
I don't really know what to think of the hiring of Jack Del Rio. I just know that whenever anybody goes to Oakland, their careers end. So I don't want to see this happen to Jack. I think he's a good guy. He's a good coordinator. I don't know how much of a good head coach he'll be, even though he used to be head coach for Jacksonville back when they opened up. Not when they opened up, but when they were pretty good in the 04 or 5 years. And with Foles as his future, I think he needs to get his mechanics down a little bit better. I'm hoping this year was just a sophomore slump. He had a great year in his rookie year, but not a lot of teams had tape on him. So I think once teams got tape on them, they were able to realize what his strengths are, what his weaknesses are, and they were able to exploit that. So this will be his year. This will be his year to prove to people that he can actually be a franchise quarterback for the Eagles.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, speaking of Del Rio, he was hired yesterday. He became the new head coach and replaced the fired Dennis Allen, who coincidentally had preceded Del Rio as the Broncos defensive coordinator previously. And Del Rio also took over for Oakland's interim head coach and former Miami Dolphins head coach, Tony Sperano. And actually, like you mentioned, Del Rio was pretty successful for a 3-4 year span, you know, within the last decade in Jacksonville. He coached there for about a decade almost. Won one playoff game and had a couple 11-win seasons. Actually, no, one 11-win season, one 12-win season, and it'd be interesting to see. I'm interested to see if John Fox will be on the Raiders now, because I'm looking at it, and Del Rio, he has served as far as the coordinator, he has served under these head coaches, and it's a pretty good list. Mike Ditka, he served under him in New Orleans from 97 to 98. Brian Billick for the Ravens, obviously, who won the Super Bowl in 2000, 2001. He served there for 3 years under Billick. And also John Fox, obviously with the Broncos, but he also was there for when he was with Carolina too. And then Mike Smith was also an assistant coach when Del Rio was the head coach with Jacksonville. So, Mark Milano, do you see John Fox going to Oakland now that he was let go by John Elway from the Broncos, or do you see him going elsewhere?
I actually see him going to the Bears. There's been reports say that he is going to have an interview with the Bears, and he's expected to, if everything goes well, sign with the Bears.
Yeah, it'd be pretty interesting to see. And obviously, speaking of the Raiders, Eagles offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur, prior to Del Rio being hired, had had been interviewed there. Where do you see him? What do you see him doing? Do you see him being retained as the offensive coordinator for the Eagles next year, or do you see him being a head coach, Mark Milano, next year?
I see him being with the Eagles next year as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Also, with him, the Bills, about a little over a week ago, they received permission from the Eagles to interview him. It'd be interesting to see. He spent the last two seasons, obviously, under Chip on the staff when he got hired here. Be interesting to see. Now, I want to get to Riley Cooper because we were talking about how the Eagles should get Randall Cobb, which I agree with both of you, how Macklin had a great year and he should come back because he's a free agent, and how, you know, a couple other guys on the offense, specifically a wide receiver, should, you know, should be in the mix. So with Riley Cooper, I'm hoping they can get rid of him. Foolishly, the Eagles gave him a really high-end contract a year ago. I'm reading on online that it was over $22 million with a $10 million guaranteed contract. Predictably, he face planted this year and only had 55 catches, just over 500 receiving yards, and three touchdowns with a yards per catch average of 2.9. What do you see him doing? I'll run this to you, Mark Milano first, and then Mark McClain, and then after that, we have a couple more minutes, so we'll wrap up. So I'll start with you, Mark Milano. What do you see Cooper doing next year?
I want him to get released. I think he's a fraud wide receiver, but I think the Eagles are going to end up restructuring his contract and keeping him on the team. And he's a really good blocker at the receiver position. He can block well. That's about all he can do.
Yeah, and actually, before I throw that same question to you, Mark McClain, Mark Milano, like you mentioned, there's a good chance that Fox will be the next head coach of the Bears, who obviously had a vacancy after Mark Trestman was fired. So speaking of that, I think you might be right because tonight, about a few hours ago, the Chicago Tribune newspaper reports that all indications remain strong that the Bears will hire John Fox as their next head coach. So that's almost a certainty. And it'll be pretty interesting to see what happens. If the Eagles can get some good offensive talent in the draft, most importantly, can address their secondary, namely the cornerbacks, and can keep, you know, most of their coaches from going elsewhere as head coaches, their coordinators, that'll be strong. So before we head out, Mark McClain, what do you see happening? I'll throw that same question to you. What do you see happening with that, with Cooper?
Well, if Cobb doesn't pan out, I would think they're going to keep Cooper. He is a good blocker. I think the vertical situation, losing Jackson, hurt the team this year offensively from the year before. And I hope that they see that, okay, because Cooper's numbers went down because of the attention Jackson got. And I had no doubt about that. As Jackson, as a person and a player, fitting in with the situation, that didn't work out. But that's where a guy like Cobb can come in and fill that role. And once you have that vertical down there where that tension is coming out, then a guy like Brad Smith or a guy like Cooper or even Huff can develop. Matthews and Macklin are solid. All right, so
yeah.
You go to that scenario. So, and as to the money, it's like the Phillies eating Howard's contract. So you need a few million. You can probably absorb that, but you're not going to use the guy that much. Yeah. I mean, if you're not going to use the guy, then you can't keep him that way. You have to do stuff to better the team in depth, and that's the key to success. The more depth,
I agree with you.
Okay,
I'm sorry, I have to cut you short.
Yeah, the final question to both of you, as your expectations, what do you think the fans expect of the Eagles this year?
Well, we're finishing up real quick. I think we both think they'll do pretty well. We'll have to address that next show just because we're about to get we're about
okay.
to leave the show. So we'll talk about that next time. Mark, me and Mark would both like to thank you for joining us on the show, and tune in next time to the Bird Gang. Thank you for everybody for listening.
Bye-bye.